I'm Hannah Davis, and Jess is off this week. She is taking a week to write her new book, her third book, and she's kind of getting started on some ideas. And first, we've done some plotting together, and so now she's just kind of doing first draft stuff. So we're super excited that she's doing her book. In the meantime, I have a dear friend with me right now, Brenda Anderson, and we are actually in the same room together because we live like a mile apart. Brenda, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Tell me a little bit about yourself, or I guess tell the listeners a little bit about yourself.
Okay, well, as a writer, I write contemporary women's fiction / family drama, sometimes with elements of romance. I like to look at life from sort of an opposite side of what I see. I like to dig into perspectives that I don't see. So I want to see the heart that God sees as opposed to the facade that so many of us see. So.
Interesting. I want to unpack that more later, for sure. Today, you guys, personally, I always miss Jess when she's gone, but I'm a little happy she's gone this time because she doesn't watch musicals that often. And it's so sad because I have been trying to get her into that genre. But Brenda here and I are both big musical lovers. As a matter of fact, we went to go see Broadway Princess Party.
That's it.
Which is one of our local gals here in Minneapolis, Laura Osnes, is a Broadway star now. She's amazing. And she started this whole thing called Broadway Princess Party where they basically tour the country singing Disney songs. And it's like every fantasy we all imagined.
It was fabulous.
Yeah. And they're all Broadway stars. So we saw
Susan Egan,
right,
who was Belle from Beauty and the Beast,
the original Beauty and the Beast on Broadway.
I even saw her on Broadway in Beauty and the Beast.
I remember you telling me that, and I'm so envious right now. And then we had Courtney.
Yeah,
I can't remember her last name.
Jasmine.
Yeah, the original Jasmine on Broadway. And so we had three original Disney princesses in our show. And then we also had the original Aladdin come as well.
Yes.
And his name I can't remember off the top of my head either.
No clue.
But
my daughter could tell you.
Yes. And Brenda's daughter does theater.
Yes.
Here in Minneapolis. So we are both big theater nerds. Mm-hmm. Anything musical related, we love to talk about. So that's what we're going to nerd out over today.
Yay.
And we're going to start really quick with a fun debate we've had several times. It's about 3 years ago now, 2016 or 17, is when La La Land came out. Mm-hmm. And then shortly after, like nine months, maybe it was a year after that, it was The Greatest Showman.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, Brenda and I have had quite the debate about which one's her favorite. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to... Go ahead, Brenda, and give me the best reasons why you think The Greatest Showman is...
Why it's better?
Why it's not better, but why it's fine, okay, good.
Why it's good. It's just, to me, it's such a feel-good movie. You know, I watch it, every time I watch it, it gets to the end of the movie, and I can just turn it on and watch it over and over again. You know, you go through the movie takes you through the whole gamut of emotions. You know, it starts out feeling good, and then you sort of drag down. You see as The Greatest Showman digs himself deeper and deeper, and then it ends up happy, and then I want to watch it all over again.
So this is what I find interesting, is that I actually, ironically, don't feel like it's that happy of a movie. Is that so? Maybe it's just me. Granted, La La Land probably isn't that happy of a movie either, but I guess I'm just looking at that differently. Mm-hmm. But, okay, music-wise, though, this is where I think La La Land gets The Greatest Showman in the music category.
I don't know about that. I would have to watch La La Land again to actually judge it correctly or honestly, but it just didn't leap out at me, whereas the music from The Greatest Showman, it just leapt out at me, and I can sing it all the time.
Yeah, I do have to admit this Keala's song,
This Is Me.
This Is Me, and it's, I remember watching the Facebook video when they first came out with the behind the scenes of their first rehearsal.
Yes.
And I have to admit, I got chills. And I don't remember if I teared up or not, but I remember just feeling it then. And that was, I will give you, an incredible moment.
Yeah. It's almost like a worship service, it felt like.
She just has an amazing voice. It's insane.
And she has such a presence when she sings, too.
Yeah. We've talked about this before. Hugh Jackman is not my favorite in that I don't know what it is about Hugh Jackman and his singing that I don't connect with, but I know he did like Oklahoma on Broadway.
Right, that's how he got his start. Yeah. Was Oklahoma.
Really?
That was before he became Wolverine.
Was it really that long ago?
Yes, he was Curly in Oklahoma, and someone else will tell me if I get this wrong. But he was Curly in Oklahoma when he auditioned for Wolverine in the X-Men.
Oh.
And he went to the audition, I believe, with the curly hair and everything. And he's going, no way am I going to get this. And so now people who know him as Wolverine can't believe he's, you know, a singer.
Yeah.
A singer, an actor.
Well, I think after The Greatest Showman, now they probably know him more as a singer.
That's true. But... And Les Mis, too.
That's true. I forgot he was in the film version of Les Mis with Anne Hathaway and Amanda Seyfried and Russell Crowe and that was a really great version of Les Mis too.
Oh, it was.
Okay, maybe we'll have to circle around back to Les Mis too.
Yes,
good.
That's in my top three actually.
Ooh.
Is Les Mis. Maybe not that version, but Les Mis.
Let me quick talk about La La Land here. I will give you some things about The Greatest Showman, but I think for me, what I didn't resonate with was the storyline. Mm-hmm. Was just like, because I felt like it was a hero thing for me, where I don't feel like I could. I understood the concept, but I think the way he went about it and like the way his like personality kind of showed is that it was kind of like self-serving in that way.
He absolutely was self-serving. Mm-hmm. And I think that's sort of the point of the movie. It was all about him. And there's the song Never Enough that shows that he could never get enough, you know. You give him
glamour.
All the world and everything, and it's not going to be enough to make him happy.
Yeah, that's a good point. I guess I never really thought about it that way. I think maybe I was just had my blinders on in that moment. So, okay, you might turn me around a little bit more in The Greatest Showman, but you will never turn me around to say it's better than La La Land.
Well, you tell me why you like La La Land.
Okay, here's the deal. The music, hands down, the best. It's like Horowitz or something like that. I'm going to look that up. But he worked so hard on the score, and he and the director, creator of La La Land were college friends, and they actually did the director went to, I think it was, oh gosh, I'm going to get this wrong too. I'm pretty sure it was either Juilliard or Yale, and I can't remember. So one of the, huge Ivy League opportunities there, but they had done a film in college that kind of touched on, well, can you do a new updated stylized version of the classic musical. I mean, you and I grew up watching Rodgers and Hammerstein.
Yep, my favorites.
And I think that La La Land held so much of that like classic feel to it, which I have missed so desperately. Like you don't get that feeling anymore of just like a good classic musical.
That is very true.
And the music was exactly as such. I think the score is one of the best scores ever. The story, the interesting thing is, if you haven't seen La La Land, it doesn't have a happy ending in the traditional sense.
True.
They definitely throw a little curveball at you at the end. And I remember people freaking out about that. And I was like, but you know what? I kind of get it. Because the story is about two people who are in LA pursuing dreams, and they fall in love at one period of time, and life just kind of diverges, and they take separate paths, and that's just kind of okay. I think that that was the ending of the story, is just the fact that it's okay that they went different ways, and they both ended up finding their paths and gaining their careers in a better manner. And it was like, I like the fact that it wasn't a happy ending, like a traditional happy ending. Mm-hmm.
I actually like that, too. I don't need the HEA, the happily ever after.
Yeah, right.
I like something that's more real. So I did like that aspect. That
yes.
It was, okay, that's real. I like that. So
the vibrancy of the color, the choreography, mm-hmm. which I'm going to bring my inner dancer out here right now. For those of you who don't know, I've danced many, many great years.
So, I defer to you on dance, as you're the expert.
Mandy Moore, not the singer,
yes,
the choreographer, who she's done work for So You Think You Can Dance and Dancing with the Stars, she choreographed all of La La Land. And it is, for somebody who's obsessed with dance as I am, it was like everything that I imagined Mandy Moore's work to be, especially collaborating on this movie. And it was absolutely incredible. And the huge scene that you see at the end with the, mm-hmm. The beginning and at the end too, the mm-hmm. end one was good too, but the beginning where they're opening on the ramp.
I love that part.
Oh.
I did. I love that. That was brilliant.
So incredible. And they did that in the span of a weekend. They were there like early in the morning and they shot till I think mid-afternoon. And it was the hottest day in mid-July of all these dancers who are supposed to be doing. And they did it so intricately where they basically did it in three parts, all one continual shot.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the most difficult thing that you'll ever see pull off. And I think that the fact that they pulled off a modern musical with a classic feel to it, I don't think I can ever get over that. I think it just tops The Greatest Showman in so many ways. Because I feel like The Greatest Showman just represents a lot of what, like, a modern musical is. It mm-hmm. has a lot more of the, pop feel to it.
Oh, it was definitely poppy.
Yeah, poppy.
Poppy.
It's poppy.
Yep.
But yeah, and so I feel like this one, I think that's probably why I like it so much, is the mm-hmm. fact that it's more classic.
Okay.
So.
I get that.
Okay.
I get that.
But we'll still agree to disagree.
Yeah. but you've convinced me to go listen to the soundtrack
again. Oh, and the jazz, the way that they bring that jazz out. So. Oh, good.
I'll go give it another try.
Okay. Good to hear. Okay, so now that we're done talking about that, let's go over a couple more of our top two.
Yes,
and I'm going to go, why don't you take a shot first? What's your next round?
Oh, my next favorite?
Yeah, your next favorite.
Okay. Bandstand.
Oh!
I knew you'd like that.
Oh my goodness, I remember that. Wasn't it
It was on Fathom Events is where I saw it.
Yes.
And it has Laura Osnes.
Laura Osnes.
Again, the local. And it was...
saw it, but I went to go see it at the movie. So that Fathom Events does their... what they do is they film the Broadway production, mm-hmm. and then they show it in theaters. And in this particular case, they showed it well after it had closed. I think it was almost a year after it had closed, which was so sad that it only lasted like 6 months.
Oh, I know. And it was...
It was so good.
So good. The story was excellent. It was... You know, usually musicals, the story isn't totally fleshed out,
mm-hmm.
and I thought the story in Bandstand is one of the best I've seen in a musical.
So, for those who don't know what Bandstand is, can you give a synopsis?
Well, it's about a group of soldiers coming home from World War II, and they decide to form a band and enter a contest, and you can help me if I get this wrong.
They enter like a contest to essentially to like become a well-known band. I think that's what it is. Or maybe it was a general contest, like a talent contest.
Yeah,
I've only
seen it once, so I can't give you the details.
But Laura Osnes plays the widow of... A soldier.
One of the soldiers.
And this soldier's, like, best buddy in war
mm-hmm.
comes back, and she ends up, like, kind of meeting him, and they end up falling in love. But it's a lot of discussion and talk about, you know, coming home from war,
mm-hmm.
and especially from the widower's point of view.
Right.
And
it deals with PTSD, it deals with mm-hmm, alcoholism,
yep.
it deals with all these different aspects of the things that soldiers go through when they come home from war. And it was so in depth that I was impressed.
I cried watching that.
Mm-hmm.
It was, and that was on film.
Yes,
like,
yes.
Can you imagine if you were in the theater watching Laura Osnes belt those songs?
Yes, and she was phenomenal.
Yes.
That, Is it Coming Home? Is that that last song she did?
Yeah.
And it was just so emotional the way she presented that. She got into it.
Yeah. And I don't know. I hope that they do more showings of Bandstand, but yes. I think that they've done tours of the band.
There's a tour going on right now, and the closest it comes is to us is Nebraska. And I think it's sometime. I know it's sometime in this next month, and we're trying to figure out, can we make it?
Can you go?
Yeah, so.
So that in the story, the war heroes all kind of get together and they make a band. It was a big band, essentially, or swing style.
It had, you know, the old, swing style, I guess. Mm-hmm. It's not quite, but not Lawrence Welke. I'm trying to think of, my husband could tell you what it is.
Yeah, there's a name for it that we're not getting.
Yeah, but you know, it's big band.
Yeah.
Big band, you know, it's got the trombones and trumpets and it's just...
They create this band, and so now this, like, fictional band is touring as a real band, which is super fun. And there was I love the fact that they actually did, the actors played their instruments on stage.
Yes.
So not only do you have to be an actor and sing and dance, you have to play an instrument. Let's talk about the quad threat here.
Yeah.
Oh, they were so good.
They were fabulous. Every one of them, the talent was amazing.
Yeah.
So why it didn't go on longer, I don't know.
I don't know. I think that befuddled me as soon as I heard that it was closing after 6 months. It was like, no, because I wanted so desperately to go to New York to see it, and I couldn't get there.
Well, it was in the theaters at the same time as all... I'm going to hold this up so the radio audience can see.
Dun, dun, dun. It's Hamilton.
My playbill of Hamilton. And it was in the theaters at the same time as that show.
Yeah.
And that took...
I think it's true. I mean, that took all the... It did. I mean, it was so hard to compete against Hamilton.
Yeah.
It's still so hard to compete against Hamilton.
But, you know, I saw Hamilton in person, and it was fabulous, but I would much rather watch Bandstand.
Yeah, I think for me, that was it's the rap style and the hip-hop. It just doesn't... It doesn't jive with me. I love that it hit such a massive audience, though, because I think it brought a much greater audience into the musical genre after that. So it was super fun to see all these people who are like, oh, wow, musicals are actually fun.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And I think it brought, made people interested in history. Who is this Alexander Hamilton?
And
it's like, now people know all that history, and how cool is that? So.
Yeah. Yeah, true. And that's a very, very good point. And Bandstand kind of does that along similar lines, where there is that history element, but of course it's more of a personalized story about coming home from war.
Right.
So, and I think that's so interesting because it's so still applicable today, even. Mm-hmm. So, really interesting. Okay, yes. Bandstand. Great one.
All right. Yay, we agree on one.
Yay, we agree on Bandstand, because it's Laura Osnes.
That's right. Well, that's why I was interested. And then the show was fabulous, so.
Yeah. I think everything Laura Osnes touches, just, I think it's gold.
That's true.
Maybe it's the Minnesotan in me. But
that's true. She's just talented.
She's so talented. We're so proud of her. Good job, Laura.
Yep.
Okay, I'm going to do one really quick that's not a movie or a theater production. It's still technically a musical genre, but it's interesting. Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist. Have you watched it?
I haven't watched it.
Okay.
I've seen the commercials, but it's good.
It's okay. Let me tell you. I was, so this is a TV show that's currently airing on NBC. They've only aired a couple of episodes so far, and it's like two or three. I can't recall. I think we're at three now. It stars Jane Levy as playing the millennial Zoe, and she is kind of a typical millennial. She's working in her job, trying to climb up the ladder. She works as a coder, so something I have like know nothing about.
Okay, it's like medical coder where they have to
like a computer program.
Oh,
like so, she like the most recent thing is like something to do with like watches and a program, and like program the watch to do something.
Okay.
Something I have, like, no clue about. I mean, it's, like, over
something
my head.
I never want to have a clue how to do.
This is the really thing, and I think is going to lead really perfectly. We're going to talk about Brenda's book next. So what I absolutely love about it stars Peter Gallagher and Mary Steenburgen, who, I mean, Let's talk. Peter Gallagher got his start on Broadway 1.5 billion years ago. Wow. I mean, he's not that old, but...
No, he's not.
Not a billion. But, I mean, he was in Guys and Dolls. What else was he in? A number of... I mean,
I don't know him from Broadway. The main thing okay. I know him from is While You Were Sleeping.
Oh, of course. We've talked about While You Were Sleeping so often. That makes perfect sense. That comes up right now. But he can sing, he can dance, he definitely has a Broadway background, but he's a veteran actor, and same with Mary mm-hmm. Steenburgen. They're just, yes. they bring a lot to the table.
Okay.
And then it also stars around, so they play Zoe's parents.
Okay.
You have, I can never remember his name, but it's the guy from Pitch Perfect. He plays Zoe's coworker, and another coworker is Zoe's boss is played by Lauren Graham, who also has some Broadway background.
Nice.
So you have a lot of singers and dancers, mm-hmm. and once again, this stars behind the scenes my Mandy Moore as the choreographer.
So therefore, it's got to be good.
The dancing's got to be good. So that's what roped me into watching it in the first place. And here's my thing about TV shows that have tried musical genres. Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason, they've never worked out for me. Glee kind of didn't work just because I didn't jive with the storylines. It was high school drama, and I'm mm-hmm. like, I don't want to watch any of that. I don't need to know who's sleeping with who and all the drama. And then Smash came on, and I never got into Smash because it was up against Castle.
Well, and Castle's definitely more important than that.
Okay, we can all agree on that. We
loved Castle.
there was Pushing Daisies, which ran very briefly, and that had Kristen Chenoweth in it.
Okay.
And I remember watching,
She's talented.
She's super talented, but the show, I think, never jived. And I think it was a little, I don't remember that. That was a while ago that was on.
I don't remember. The title's familiar.
But I don't know. For whatever reason, musical genre TV hasn't mm-hmm. worked for me. And so I'm thinking to myself, this is the main problem that I see. You kind of touched on it earlier, is this musical genre doesn't tend to, like, give the characters enough depth for me to care about them, and especially long-term. Like, I can ignore the depth of characters for kind of a short period of time for mm-hmm. a musical-style movie, but for a TV show, you need to care about the characters. Mm-hmm. You need to care about them. And that's what I was worried about with Zoe's. And truthfully, the majority of the first episode, I was thinking that was just going to be the case. Like, it was fun music, so they do covers of songs instead of original music, which is, that's like kind of the downside, but I actually think that there's an upside to it, which I'll get mm-hmm. to in here in a minute. The covers of the songs are fine, the dancing was great, because of course Mandy Moore, I just love everything she does, but it felt to me for the majority of the first episode, these characters, like, it's just going to be, there's no, like, depth. Like, mm-hmm. it's just very surfacey.
Right.
You kind of care about Zoe, hope that she does good in her job, and she sort of connects with a coworker. But there's a moment at the end of the episode that I'll touch on here in a minute. But her father is suffering from a neurological disease, which I'm going to forget the name of right now. It's not, give me a second. I'm going to get this. But her father, basically, this disease, literally looking this up because I need to know. It's specifically, here we go. He suffers from progressive supranuclear palsy, a rare neurological disorder that rendered him speechless and immobile. Hmm. Fun fact, the creator of the show, that was his experience with his own father.
Oh, wow.
So for him, it's super personal, and he brings a lot to the table with that storyline because he's lived the experience of dealing with difficulties in communicating with his father, who is basically left immobile and kind of speechless. And that's...
See, now I'm really curious.
Exactly. And that, so you kind of get that storyline during the beginning part of the episode, but it isn't until the very end of the episode where you understand why music matters in this show. And it's the idea that, so Zoe kind of goes through, in the middle of the episode, she goes through this thing where she ends up getting an MRI, and there's like, this is the fantastical part. There's an earthquake that happens during the MRI, and something happens to her head while she's in the MRI, where now, after the MRI, she can hear people's thoughts in song, in dance version. And they will like sing it in front of her, but like, she's imagining it all, but she can like hear what they're thinking through song.
Wow.
And it's so, it was that moment at the very end of the episode, she's like breaking down to her dad. She's like, I just need you. I wish you could say something because I need you. I need my dad. Mm-hmm. I need my, and he comes up and he stands up, and it's this like moment in time where real time has paused, and now she's in this world where she's hearing her father's thoughts through song, and he sings True Colors. And it's just this like the most touching moment I have seen in TV in I don't know how long. I was a wreck. Like ugly sobs here. I am sobbing, and I mean like a full on tear sniffles. And it was so beautiful, and that's what hooked me.
Okay.
And the last couple of episodes have really lived up to that, where you get to understand the difficulties it takes to be the caregiver of somebody. There's a lot that goes into being the caregiver of a loved one, and there's a lot of emotions that play, you know, whether you're the daughter or whether you're the son or whether you're the wife, whatever relationship. There's a lot. And that was something that I absolutely loved, how Zoe's playlist is tackling that that area. And they're really looking at, like, what it means to be a caregiver and in that disease.
And I'm even more curious.
So now you got to go watch it. I think all the episodes are on NBC. Okay. I think they're even on YouTube.
Okay.
So you can probably just look it up.
I'll find them.
Yeah. But that leads me perfectly into Brenda's new book.
Yes.
So, Brenda, tell us about your book and especially what that looks like.
Oh, well, it's a perfect segue.
From
the caregiver. my new book, Hands of Grace, it just came out last week. And it's about a woman, Rita, who she always looks for love in the wrong places, but this time she's got it right. She's dating a heart surgeon, and he's a Christian, and he treats her really well. But then she finds out that no, he's none of those things, and he's put her in danger. So much so that she needs, the police want to put her in a safe home, and she says, no, I can't. I have to care for my mother, who has dementia, and if you move her to a different home, she'll freak out, and it'll shorten her life. So anyway, they bring an undercover officer there to not only watch her, but she's also a suspect. So anyway, and the underlying theme throughout the book is about Rita as a caregiver. And, you know, that's where the term or the title comes in too, Hands of Grace.
Yeah.
Because she's always, you know, giving, and, you know, her mother didn't even like her. Her mother doesn't remember her now, and she didn't like her either when Rita was kicked out when she was 18. So it adds a few more elements there. And, you know, this story is especially pertinent to me right now, too, and that I've dealt with a lot of dementia in my life. Mother had it, my father-in-law had it, and now my husband's been diagnosed with early onset Alzheimer's. So when God said, you know, I want you to write this book, and I was looking for some kind of a wrench to throw in, you know, why can't Rita go to the safe house? And God's saying, well, give the mom dementia. I'm going, nah, I don't want to do that. It's too close.
Yeah.
And so finally I gave in, and it really became the heart of the story.
Oh, isn't it like so hard too when God's like, you know, you need to write this. And you're like, no, I don't want to write about that.
Yeah, I really didn't. But it's actually touched a lot of people's hearts, and they'll say, you know, I'm caregiving for, you know, my mom or whoever it is, and they can see a lot or relate a lot to Rita and their situation, and they find hope in it too. And I think that's the ultimate goal when I write anyway, is that no matter how difficult the situation is, with God there is hope. So that's my ultimate goal anyway.
I love that. And I think it's interesting too how she like didn't have a great relationship with her mom. She's choosing to be a caregiver despite all of that, and I'm assuming to show God's love.
Yeah, that's part of it. There's, you know, a whole bunch of nuances in there too.
Okay.
I'm not going to give away, so you
of
have
course
to
not. We don't give books away here. We ask them to read it.
That's right.
I'm excited for this book. I remember I recently read the back cover copy out of curiosity. I'm like, oh, this is going to, oh, it just looks so good. And it's so, like, I feel like it's so relatable for so many, even in my generation too, because I know of a number of friends who have parents who are dealing with recent diagnoses of different diseases or neurological issues, and it's a hard thing to see your parents suffer in that way, and then, you know, as things progress, it's almost like a different, they become like a different person, not like a different person entirely, but it's different because you're almost like losing the person you remember to somebody new.
You are, and they do become a different person, and your experience with them each day is different.
Yeah.
And you just have to go in with that thought, okay, I'm going to love this person who they are today.
I love that. That's like quotable right there. I'm going to love this person who they are today. I'm just, that's going to be like pulled up and slapped on my wall right now. I love that. We're going to wrap up. But Brenda, before we go, where can people find you and where can people buy your book?
Oh, well, you can get this book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, online. You can find me. My website is www.brendaandersonbooks.com, and all my books are listed there, and I've also got books on Book Depository, Books a Million, wherever you can find books. Yeah.
And you have a Facebook page and an Instagram.
Yes, I do. It's Brenda S. Anderson Author is my Facebook page. So anything, you know, if you're looking for me on social media, my author name is Brenda S. Anderson. So that's what you look for.
There you go. Yay. Hey, thanks for joining me today.
Oh, this was so fun.
It was
Thank
so
you.
Fun. I love the Thank fact you. That we're just hanging out and it's, you know, we live a mile away and I haven't seen you. I missed you on Sunday. We go to the same Minnesota writers group and I unfortunately couldn't be there this Sunday, but I'm glad I got to catch up with you today.
Yes, this was fun. Now we got to hang out and go to more musicals together.
I know. Oh, okay. Down to Nebraska for the bandstand group.
Yes. Man. Hopefully it isn't passed already. I will have to look that up.
Oh, okay. Double checking plans. We'll make that. We hope that you guys enjoyed today's episode. As always, you can find me at Hannah Davis Author on Facebook and on Instagram. And then Jess is Jessica Kate at Jessica Kate Writing, both Instagram and Facebook as well. And as always, feel free to take a screenshot of this and let us know you're listening. Tag us in Facebook with the hashtag StoryNerds and tag at like one of Jess or I's Instagrams or Facebooks. And we'd love to hear from you. And definitely comment on our Facebook page and let us know your favorite musical. I have so many. I didn't even get to like a quarter, a ton, like an eighth, a 16th, a 30 seconds.
We just touched the tip of
the tip
iceberg.
Of the iceberg. So good. So many good ones. All right. We will talk to you guys later. Have a great couple of weeks, you guys. Bye.
Bye.